checking my telephone for taps. Damn, so many of us who sold crack in the late 1990s and early 2000s knew that talking street business on the phone was a no-no. We were always paranoid someone was listening in. It was no different with Willie D's verse. He thought he was getting followed because of his status. I take my boys everywhere I go because I'm paranoid. That is me right now. You're rarely going to see me without my friend Wax by my side to make sure someone isn't going to run up on me. I was never a trap star, but I am a radio star, and I've already been run up on twice. I'm not trying to make it three times. Willie D also says he's convinced that he's being followed by killers when he's driving. Well, me too. Just the other day, I was telling my therapist about a panic attack I had after leaving the Walgreens in the town where I live in New Jersey. As I tell this story, keep in mind I pay about $17,000 a year in property taxes. So when I say it's a nice area, it's nice. There's nobody slanging or trapping. The scariest thing you will encounter are deer jumping out in the front of your car at night. On this particular evening, I was getting home late, which for me was about 9:30 at night. After pulling out of the Walgreens, I stopped at a light and looked down at my phone. All of a sudden, I hear a massive bass thump coming from the car behind me. I looked in my rearview mirror and saw this car was right up on my bumper. Had some people follow me from the Walgreens? Were they about to run up on me? Was this it? As Willie D said in his verse, ain't no use to me lying. I was scared than a motherfucker. I looked through both of my side mirrors to make sure no one had hopped out and was creeping up on the side of me with a pistol. I was imagining a scene like when Kane creeped up on that dude at the drive-thru window in Minister Society. I didn't see anyone, and when the light finally turned green, I shot off. But the car stayed behind me. It drove behind me for a few minutes, the bass throbbing the entire time. As I approached another red light, the road widened to two lanes. The driver stayed behind me until the last moment and then veered off to the left and pulled up alongside me. I gripped my wheel, expecting shots to ring out at any second. Willie D finishes his verse by saying that when he finally pulled over to confront the person following, what he saw would make your ass start giggling. Three blind, crippled, and crazy senior citizens. In my case, it wasn't senior citizens, but what I saw was just as ridiculous. When the gunshots never came, I finally turned to get a look at my tormentor. Sitting in the car across from me was a white boy with glasses. I'm talking a Paul Pfeiffer from the Wonder Years type of white boy with glasses. Or Milhouse from The Simpsons. Maybe a threat if you got a high-powered assault rifle and some ammo and decided to shoot up a school, but not even remotely a threat to me on that evening. I let out a huge sigh of relief and headed home. Nothing more than another case of me being paranoid for no reason. When I told that story to my therapist, you know what she said to me? That she grew up in that town and that I needed to relax. To his Scarface said, take a chill, B. Because no matter what I thought, there was never a chance anyone was going to pull up on me in a town like that. It was all in my head. The song's final verse belongs to Bushwick Bill. This dude's anxiety was so bad that he thought it was Halloween when it wasn't. He rhymed about going out trick-or-treating, only to be tormented by what sounds like some sort of apparition. He stood about 6 or 7 feet, rhymed Bill. Now that's the nigga I be seeing in my sleep. Those lines remind me of the boogeyman my parents would tell me to watch out for when I was a little kid. I always would think there were people hiding in our closets and under my bed. Were my parents unwittingly responsible for some of my later anxiety? It could be. Which is why I don't talk to my kids about ghosts in the attic or boogeymen hiding in the closets. I don't want to plant seeds of fear in their heads. There are other ways to get their attention and have them follow rules. Bill's verse ends with his hallucinating that he's jumping this guy, though he eventually realizes that he was just punching the sidewalk and beating his own hands into bloody pulps. Might sound extreme, but I've been in a similar situation. It was my birthday, and I had just finished my 6 to 10 p.m. shift at Hot 103.9 in Columbia, South Carolina. I decided to go over to my homeboys Wax and Dre's house to catch up with them. I wasn't really smoking weed at the time, but since it was my birthday, Wax and Dre convinced me to smoke an L with them. Big mistake. After we finished the blunt, they left the room for whatever reason. As I sat there by myself, I started panicking. That weed had taken my normal level of anxiety and turned it all the way up. They had been gone for only a few minutes, but it seemed like an eternity. I became convinced something was seriously wrong, so without telling anyone, I jumped up and ran out of the house like it was on fire. I hopped into my little silver Honda Accord and started driving down I-77 toward my apartment. I was trying to stay calm, but the lights of the other cars on the road seemed to make my anxiety kick in even crazier.